The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
Welcome to The She Word, conversations that women rarely have, but really should. And in this very special series that we're running with the Vivian Corporation, we're looking at health issues that face women. So we're looking at things like HPV, menopause, metastatics, and today we're going to be looking at skincare. Because let's face it, excuse the pun, how we look affects every single one of us. Now, the skin is the largest organ of our body, but I'm very prepared to say I know very little about it. So I'm really excited to be sitting down with experts talking about skincare problems that skin faces, and so much more. One of the problems that we'll be discussing as well is adult acne, which is a huge topic that you have been asking us to look into, because 50% of women in their 20s deal with adult acne. In this show, we're discussing skin and the challenges that we face. Now, here are some critical statistics. Clinical trial data reveals that approximately 50% of women in their 20s, 33% of women in their 30s, and 25% of women in their 40s are affected by acne. So this is one of the other things that we're going to be talking about in this show. You've asked for it and we're doing it. But before we go into the details, I'd like to introduce our guests. So Dr. Marie-Claire Bartolo is an aesthetic doctor, owner of a metaesthetic clinic. It's so lovely to have you here and I cannot wait to sit down and talk about this topic. I also happen to know, because you mentioned, you're quite excited to be here as well.
Yes, very much so.
Yes! Dr. Monique Kakia, thank you for being here. Thank you so much. You're a dermatologist, and I'm going to be asking what that is in just a second. But briefly, that is a skin specialist.
Yes.
Fabulous. And I'm so glad that you are here as well. Sarah Mifsud, thank you so much for being with us. You are a pharmacist and a bioderma Vivian business unit leader.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to finding out what that is as well. But first of all, thank you so much for being here. As I mentioned, this is a frequently requested topic, particularly about adult acne. I've had it over and over again. Please, can you do a show about skin problems? So I'm really glad that we're here. And as I mentioned, really, all of us, no matter who we are very conscious of how we look. And this is the first place that you look at. You look at someone's face, you look at someone's skin. So before we talk about the details, I want you guys to explain to me, what is skin? Skin is the largest organ of the body, but I don't think a lot of people understand what it is and how it works. So what is skin?
So basically, I mean, skin is, as you said, the largest organ of the body. It is composed of three main layers. Okay, there's the epidermis, then there's the dermis, and then there's the fat layer underneath. Each layer has different cells and has different functions. And when we're dealing with skin disorders or skin diseases, normally different skin diseases tend to affect different layers of the skin.
I'm going to stop you right there, because you already started. So you talked about the fact that each of the different layers has a different purpose.
Yes.
So tell me what the different layers are and the different purposes that they have.
So, I mean, the epidermis is the top layer. So it has cells that normally keep on growing, and there is a continuous cell turnover. Then there is underneath the dermis, which contains more collagen and connective tissue. And then there is the fat. Obviously, within these layers, for example, when you're talking about the uppermost layer, the epidermis is composed then of different layers. So it gets more complicated.
Oh my word, it is complicated.
So like there are cells that produce melanin, cells that are involved in the immune system. So yeah, it can get very, very complicated.
Okay, so can I ask you, because you mentioned melanin there, and I want to still come back and ask about diseases and so on in a second, but you mentioned melanin. Isn't melanin something that you associate with color and pigment?
Yes, basically color in the skin.
Okay.
The pigment in the skin. Now, okay. The darker you are, the more melanin there is.
Okay. And is that something, I'm hearing it here as if it's the first time, but is something that's associated with moles or freckles or something like that? Or am I completely off the plate with this?
No. In reality, if there's a mole or a freckle, there's more color. There's more melanin, which gives the browner appearance.
Exactly.
See, I learned something sometime.
Melanin is more related to hyperpigmentation, obviously, which are different types of hyperpigmentation.
Hyperpigmentation is what?
It's like when the cells in your skin will produce more melanin than it's supposed to be.
And you get browner patches.
Ooh, okay. I feel like we could have a whole show about that because I when I came to Malta, I had a lot of skin damage from the sun, dark patches. Yes. I believe that's probably something to do with melanin.
Yes.
Wow, I'm
melanin
doing well so far.
And the sun.
Thank you. I feel like there should be a test at the end of this and let's see how I do. But okay, so we've got this. Now, you also mentioned diseases, skin diseases.
Yes.
Which we're going to go into as well. But broadly speaking, what are we talking about when we talk about skin diseases? Because that sounds scary, right? I mean, immediately my head is going to skin cancer.
Yes, we're talking about, the common ones, for example, acne.
Okay.
The eczemas, psoriasis, and then obviously the rarer ones. Then the rashes, skin rashes relating to either viral infections or autoimmune rashes. So
it's complicated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my word.
And possibly even skin cancer.
Okay. Because I immediately went to skin cancer.
Very importantly.
I didn't even think when you said diseases, I didn't even think of acne or anything like that. We'll come to acne in a second because that's, we just said it's very, very common. So bearing this in mind, I'm also under the impression that we as human beings, and more specifically women, have different types of skin. My skin might not be the same as yours, and so on and so forth, because you go and you get, a moisturizer for oily skin or dry skin. How does that work? Why do we not all have the same skin?
Because we are all different. Like anything else, like for example, if you have different colored eyes, the skin is different according to the individual. And there are factors, both internal factors like your nutrition, your level of hydration, your stress levels that could affect your skin. And then maybe environmental factors like how much you're exposed to the UV and how much product you apply, how much care you take care of your skin. And the end result is basically a combination of all these factors together.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the skin types? What are we talking about here?
When you talk about skin types, you could either, in dermatology, you can refer to skin types according to skin color. It's called the Fitzpatrick criteria, basically. Or else, in layman's term, it's more related to the normal skin type, the oily skin type, the combination skin type, which is related to level of dryness or oil production in the skin. That could be another way of differentiating skin types.
Okay. I'm going to go back to something that you said before, because you mentioned, before we come to acne, because we are going to highlight that, but before we get there, you talked about dry skin, about patchy skin, you talked about psoriasis and also eczema. Explain to me what those are as well. I myself have once had eczema. I don't have it anymore. How is it that I had eczema and now it's gone? I've also, when I came to Malta, I had some fantastic skin conditions related to the humidity and all of the different issues that we have in Malta as well. For me, for a foreigner, I was blown away by the way that my skin reacted. So talk to me about those first, before we go into acne. What are the different skin conditions like psoriasis and so on?
So the main ones, when we talk about, for example, eczema or psoriasis, those are inflammatory conditions, okay? And basically, there is a dysfunction in the barrier of the skin, okay? Now, when it comes to both eczema and psoriasis, there could be an element that is genetic. So very often patients are genetically predisposed to developing them. But there is also an environmental, a big environmental factor that has to do with whether or not the disorder is mild, moderate, or severe. Basically, these conditions can remain quiescent for some time. They can flare up in other periods of times. And it is all related to the immune system.
So, okay.
Yeah.
All related to the immune system.
So they are, yes, they are all related to the immune system. In fact, we treat these drugs with drugs that affect the immunity.
Okay. Okay.
The skin is a very complicated organ.
Yes.
And when we talk about diseases, it means when something is not working in the right way as it should
exactly.
be. And there are a lot of different cells, a lot of different layers, and different conditions can affect all these minor structures in the skin, leading to different appearances. You could be flaky, you could be red, you could be pigmented. It's fascinating in reality, seeing how every condition is related to something so small, which gives such a different result.
Well, it's fascinating if you're not affected by it.
Fair enough.
Because all of these issues, these skin issues, I'm pretty sure that everybody that's listening to this show or watching this show has been affected by some skin condition at some point. It wouldn't be unusual for us, for people to have had eczema or spots or whatever. And we're going to come to, again, I want to find out the difference between spots and acne. So we have all of these different issues affecting our skin, and they can happen in all different places. But I think the one that most women would be concerned about is when it affects the skin on your face.
Exactly.
You
can't cover your face.
Exactly. I remember when I came to Malta, I had impetigo.
Okay. Yes.
I was totally unaware of it. I didn't know what it was. It grew on my face until it literally took over half of my face. To fix it was really easy, but I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. And I became so self-conscious because it's on our face. So let's talk about our face, the way that skin is on our face to start with. What are the issues that face your face? What are the issues that we're faced with our face skin? What are the common challenges?
It depends. It depends from simple things like people complain that their face is too oily. And for example, if they apply makeup, they feel like it's sticking.
Or it's heavy.
Or it's heavy. And then you could have things like wrinkles. You could have things like spots, redness, flakiness of the eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. It's more of a subjective thing, because sometimes the person may have nothing wrong with their skin, but may feel that their face is too oily or that there is an uneven skin tone to it. But then some people actually have certain skin conditions which need to be treated in more depth. So sometimes there is a subjective element to it too.
Okay, so let's talk about the conditions that face us in Malta more than other countries, because I'm regularly coming into contact with friends of mine who talk about oily skin. Is this because of the weather? Is it because of the genetic makeup of Mediterranean women?
Yeah, so basically it is a mixture of factors.
Oh, wow.
So like almost everything in medicine, I would say, it's always a mixture of genetic and environmental factors. So you are genetically predisposed, okay, to producing more oil, okay? And this is generally because of an increase in amount of either androgens or a sensitivity to the amount of androgens you have in your body.
What is an androgen?
Yeah, sorry.
My girl, what is that?
And androgens are male hormones, but even females have male hormones.
Yes, okay.
So it doesn't mean that you have abnormal levels of these hormones, but it could just be that you are genetically made, that your receptors are more sensitive to them.
Oh, exactly. Wow. Okay, I really am blown away by how complicated this is.
Yeah.
So I feel like I want to throw in another question and talk about, we've talked about a little bit about skin conditions, skin diseases, things that the skin is challenged. We talked about the makeup of skin. I want to come to common issues in the Mediterranean in a moment. But before we go there, guide me through the journey that skin goes through, because let's face it, you know, as you get older, as you said, wrinkles, God bless our wrinkles, but we go through this challenge of our skin is a certain way at the very beginning, and then as we get older, certain things take effect. You actually, Sarah, said that you lose 1% of collagen?
Yes, from the age of 25, the skin starts to lose 1% of collagen, besides, plus, not just the 1%, besides the external factors that you're surrounded with. Because as we were saying before, our skin changes all the time according to the surrounding environment. For example, at the moment, if you're living in a very pollutant environment, you will lose more collagen than it's supposed to be. And not just only collagen, even other factors which really affect aging, like hyaluronic acid, which is a very important component in our skin, which locks water inside and makes your skin more plumpy. But again, as we age...
It's called what? Because I've seen this on...
Hyaluronic acid.
Hyaluronic
TikTok
acid.
Or something. Yes. Yes. People are starting to talk about
popular
this.
Ingredient. Yes. And our skin produces it itself. But again, then you have to help it up. That's why there are like skincare products and other also aesthetic treatments, because I believe that everything goes hand in hand, which at least you start to delay aging. That's it. I mean, you cannot stop aging, obviously, but there are nowadays, I mean, innovations that you can delay the process of aging.
Okay, let's come back to this. What is it? What acid? What?
Hyaluronic acid.
Hyaluronic acid locks the moisture into your skin.
Yes. Yes, basically it absorbs water.
Okay.
It's what we call hydrophilic, which means
like
it loves
sponge.
Water.
Loves water. Uh-huh.
And it plumps up. And there are, in the aesthetic world, for example, we use fillers that are actually injected inside the skin.
Ooh.
But then you could find it in products that would be applied externally on the skin.
Okay. Yes.
So it is naturally found in the skin, but obviously products are man-made to mimic.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Because they use ingredients which will help the skin to stimulate its own hyaluronic acid so that the skin will learn to continue functioning normally.
Okay, got that one, I think. I might come back and ask you more. But collagen. Now, collagen is something that is, I've heard, been mentioned for decades. But I was unaware, or you just mentioned that we start losing 1% after the age of 25. But I am led to believe that once you hit menopause, the decline is much more rapid. Because I started seeing a difference in, for instance, my hair and nails. And a friend of mine said, are you taking collagen supplements? I said, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a collagen. I knew that you could put collagen on your face and so on and so forth. What is collagen?
Okay, basically collagen is what gives structure to the skin. Now, it gives texture.
Yes, and it helps a lot the skin because as Dr. Monique was saying, the skin has different layers. So this what it does, mainly it helps gives a better structure to the outside layer which connects the inside layer because not to use technical words so that you can understand me better. So in our skin, because our body is full of collagen, but our skin has mainly five different types of collagen. So each collagen type, it will work on the structure of each layer of the skin. So it will make it more stronger and... I don't want to complicate it,
is mainly
it but
found,
it's nature found in our skin. That's how collagen works.
Uh-huh.
And actually... does not exist as a collagen because it exists as tiny molecules which make up the molecule collagen because it's a very big molecule, collagen. Even in skincare, they don't use actual collagen. They use tiny molecules. We call them peptides, which when they bind up together, it makes up collagen.
And so moving again to hormones, because as you said, as we age and after menopause, there are hormonal fluctuations, and it is these hormonal fluctuations which reduce the collagen and lead to reduced elasticity. So it's always a hormone somehow that affects everything.
So everything comes back to hormones.
Yeah.
Good grief. I mean, seriously, my mind is blown. We've been sitting around the table for 15 minutes and I'm
so
just...
Even if it's acne or aging, just blame it on the hormones.
Okay, well, you mentioned aging. So let's go through this journey and then we're going to come to acne. Let's go through this journey of what your skin starts looking like and then what it ends up looking like and everything that happens in between. So what, apart from losing this 1% of collagen, what else happens to your skin?
So from an appearance point of view, if you had to look at children's skin,
Yeah.
And then you progress through the ages.
Yeah.
They start just appearance-wise. It loses its how shiny it is.
Yeah.
It's how taut it is.
Yeah.
And how clear it is.
Okay.
I mean, as we age, it is the outer body, the outer layer of our body. It's exposed to everything. So all the insults throughout our years will in some way affect how the skin appears. Now, basically, it loses elasticity. Even if you had to pinch the skin, like in a younger person, once you remove that pressure, it goes back to normal. The older you get, it takes its time to resettle. And then obviously, if you just look at the face, you get the crow's feet, you get the wrinkles in the middle, you get the loss of volume that basically a younger person would have, like more defined appearance of the face, more evident structures. The older you get, it sags, and basically the contour of the face changes.
Yes.
And in the face, besides that, it's also a matter of what's happening underneath. There are like these pouches of fat that the older we get, the smaller they become. And they tend, with gravity, they tend to shift downwards. So the skin will travel downwards. And besides that, then there's the muscle layer, which with time becomes smaller. And even the skull, which is like supporting everything else, could shrink a little bit. So everything just goes down.
But everything can be maintained. I mean, you can fix it. There is always a solution.
There is always a solution.
Yes.
Did you see my depressed face?
I'm quite exactly.
And even the hydration, the level of hydration. Because as you age, you tend to get drier skin that is less moist. So as we age, you may need more hydration than you would have needed when you were younger.
So are we talking about hydration directly to the skin, or are we talking about what we consume? Because I want to bring this all together, because you started off talking about what our environmental, how pollution, but also stress and what we consume has a huge impact on our skin.
Yes.
Now, I want you guys to guide me here. When I was probably about 10 years old, my mother said to me, here's your skincare routine. Always make sure that you take your makeup off before night, wash your face with soap and water, and moisturize. I have probably done exactly that for however many years, and I really haven't gone very much further than that. I know that we use toners and cleansers, but I'm going to be honest, I wash my face, I make sure I take my makeup off, and I use moisturizer, and that's pretty much it. And I do that as a routine. But even before we sat down, you had also mentioned to me that sometimes you'd need more moisturizer than others and so on. So what is a good skincare routine?
Oh, there is really no good skincare routine.
The most important,
perfect, I think,
is that you would know like what your skin is at the moment.
Uh-huh.
Meaning that, because there are clients, I mean people, that sometimes they fix to a cleanser and the moisturizer from January to December. But getting back to, as we were discussing in the beginning, our skin changes all the time. So at the time being, maybe your skin is a little bit oily. So you use an appropriate cleanser and the moisturizer to control your shine. Important that you prevent clogging of pores so that you prevent future blackheads. And then there are time periods of the year that your skin can get dry. So there you have to change your type of moisturizer treatment. So your skin needs more hydration. Your skin can change. It can become very sensitive and red. So it is important that you evaluate your skin all the time. Exactly. So
you can't have a rigid skincare routine.
My mother was wrong.
Not wrong.
Sorry, Mom.
Oh, even genetically, you're lucky enough to have good skin. Uh-huh. So skincare was never an issue
for you. Not everyone has stability in their skin.
Exactly.
You could spend years totally clear and then just start breaking out at the tender age of 35, for example. So,
yes. But okay. She told you, good advice. Like, yes, it's important to remove makeup.
It's important to cleanse your skin, to keep it clean.
Yes, and keep the pores clean as much as possible to prevent future problems. Again, as we said, yes, hormones can play around, of course. So
let's put hormones aside for a second, because that's a whole different area that we're going to come to in a moment. But I want to look at a good skincare routine, because you also mentioned block pores, blackheads, oily, etc., etc. So if we were to say, I know that we're saying that skin changes, and that we can maybe in the winter you're looking at a more rich moisturizer or something that's going to address the dryness. In the summer, we've got different issues. But generally speaking, what is a good skincare? I'm so fascinated by what you're saying, but I want to break it down so that anybody that's listening and watching can say, okay, that's what I need to do. I need to take off my makeup, wash my face with soap, and put moisturizer on. But what is that good skincare routine?
The basics, just the basics, because I always say it depends on the individual, because there are individuals, for example, like me, I like everything to do, the cleanser, the toner, the eye serum, moisturizer, sunscreen. But
I'm sorry, what?
I like to do
all skincare. How do you find time for that?
Yes, I do everything is possible, because as soon as I apply my serum on, I do something else so that 10 minutes, 15 minutes will pass by and then apply the moisturizer. I don't sit down pretty like waiting for time. But it depends on the individual, because if there will be individuals, I'll tell you, I've only have 2-5 minutes. Today, nowadays, there are different technologies, even cleansers. There are also non-rinse off cleansers, just with a cotton disc and your skin is cleansed, ready to go. Then the most important, what I say, the basic ones, the eye cream, it's very important. And then at least serum or moisturizer, either or, if you're in a hurry. So at least you help your skin.
Yeah, I'm going to go, because I'm listening to you and I'm like, whoa there, Tiger, slow down. Okay, so we have the cleansing.
That's the most important. Morning
this is
and
the
evening.
Most important thing.
Yes, of
that,
course.
If you had to ask me, the most important thing is cleansing your
because
skin.
Because you have to remove the impurities, the oxidants,
and the build
makeup.
Up, because if you the cells, as I said, there is a constant turnover of cells. So if you do not remove the dead skin cells, there's going to be blockage.
Exfoliation.
And there the problems will start.
Okay, so we've got cleansing, exfoliation, removing makeup, removing not just makeup, but the toxins that are out in our air.
Exactly.
Maybe you've been swimming, removing the salt, et cetera, et cetera. And makeup. My mother was right in that one. Okay, so we've got that. Now that can look like, because I'm kind of breaking down everything that you said.
Yes.
That can look like different ways, I'm assuming, because you're talking about a cleanser. I use a flannel. A clean flannel, literally I use it. I'm giving away all of my skincare routine to the entire world. But I found a beautiful flannel in the UK that removes makeup, and it does. It's kind of nice, soft and lovely, and you buy a pack of however many, and it's good for the environment, so that's what I do. What is a good cleansing routine? Does it matter? Is it still the same? Is it still different for everybody?
Yes, because you could go for different preparations. For example, if someone likes a foam. For example, you just like pump your foam, you put the foam and you cleanse.
Or micellar water, for example.
Micellar water for makeup,
A micellar water.
Which is like this preparation, which, how am I going to explain? How would you explain micellar water?
Micellar water, they work like, they attract impurities. You don't need water to rinse off. You just apply the micellar water on the cotton bud. And it will help to absorb all impurities, dirt, etc.
Like it dissolves them.
It's ideal, even when everyone tells me I'm always on the go, it's an excuse. Mm-hmm. You can, in 2 minutes, you can prepare your skin.
What's it called?
Micellar water.
Okay.
You can remove makeup and you can just use it to clean your skin.
And it's not oil?
It's not oil, it's just water. And that's why it's good for
it
especially people who have oily skin, greasy
There are
skin.
Different micellar waters. Yeah. For example, like... In a brand like in Bioderma, we have different ones. There are one for oily, one for sensitive, one for hydration. For example, for oily, what is the main purpose? You help the skin so that the new oil produced is like fluidy. You prevent blockage of pores. So you use that. There are a lot of technologies nowadays. There are no excuses not to take care of your skin.
I feel like Sarah at the other end of the table is really telling me off. Oh my word, I'm quite scared now.
So whoever would like to take 2 minutes, because always on the go, you have products
and it's
in 2 minutes.
Micellar water. Okay, all right. So we've cleansed.
H2O.
We've cleansed our face.
Yes.
What's next?
Protect the eyes. I always mostly as you age. I mean, it's important that you protect the eyes. An eye cream. Or eye gel.
Eye serum or...
Okay.
And then the moisturizer.
Whoa. You're going to have to help me. Imagine I know nothing. but eye cream, why is that not just moisturizer? Why can't I just use moisturizer?
the skin underneath the eyes is a bit more delicate and thinner. And you might need something which is a bit richer to give you like the result that you're looking after.
And the eyes age more as well because they're very sensitive.
How did I get this far not knowing this?
And even the area though, around yes. the area around the eye doesn't tend to be very oily.
Exactly.
So even when it comes to people with oily skin, the area around the eye doesn't...
Very sensitive.
It's very sensitive. So yeah, you can still use a good eye serum.
Yes. So we're all in agreement that an eye treatment is a good way to go.
Yes, because...
Especially as you age.
Exactly. Yes. It gives a bit away the age.
Thanks.
Oh. I saw you looking at me like that, especially when you... Thank you, thank you. Okay, so we've... Sorry.
We're all aging.
You were saying?
Yes, because the skin tends to give away the age. The area around the eyes, it's one of the signs of aging, that it starts losing the elasticity a bit faster and the texture changes a bit
to
more.
To what?
To the rest of the face.
No, but it changes to what?
Wrinkly.
It changes
wrinkly and paper thin, maybe.
Oh. So an eye serum is
very important.
Going to do it. Okay, can I backdate my eye serum? Can I like backdate it to 20 years ago? Just quick. I need an eye serum. Okay, so we've looked after our eyes. What's next?
At least the moisturizer.
Okay.
Or serum.
Not necessarily a moisturizer. It could be a cream, for example, that's not too rich in moisture.
Of course.
In our heads, we think of something that is going to give your skin moisture, right?
Yeah.
There are many creams. Not all of them are moisturizers. So if your skin is very greasy, you don't need a very rich moisturizer. There are certain creams which are more targeted to your skin. Or perhaps instead of using a cream, you can use a serum or a gel serum that is more suited to your skin. So it's not, I wouldn't just use the word moisturizer necessarily.
Okay.
Because not necessarily.
But you're going to be putting moisture
putting something
in, yeah, okay,
exactly.
into it. Okay.
But wow. That's adapted to your skin type.
Complicated. Okay. So coming back to you, Sarah, what do you else? So we've done that. We've done something that is a putting moisture back into the skin.
Yes.
Okay. So Sarah, have you finished your skin routine
yes,
when we've
yes,
done
yes.
that? So that's the end.
The sunscreen is probably the second most important for
Extremely
me.
And this is comes when we are speaking about the melanin.
As more important probably than cleansing yes. your face, the sunscreen.
You need to block the UV. From damaging
especially
skin.
In Malta.
Not total block because you will never find the sunscreen with total block, but at least you'll definitely make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, talk me through this. Why? I mean, I know it sounds really obvious, but apart from the fact, you know, nobody likes to be sunburnt, we do all like to have a bit of colour and we like to get out in the sun.
Yes.
So why would we be wearing sunblock? Surely that means we're not
yes.
going to get
so
a tan.
So basically, primarily, the most important thing... Okay, why you would want sunscreen is because if you do not protect your skin against the UV rays are going to reach your skin, the cells in your skin, and damage the cells and damage the DNA. And if the DNA is damaged, especially repeated damage, the cells start to grow at an abnormal rate. And that is where we get certain pre-malignant or possibly malignant conditions in the skin. So we put on sunscreen not to get burnt. Yes, of course, it's not nice to be burnt and to blister, but we put on sunscreen to prevent skin cancer.
And aging.
And then aging, of course. Very important.
And you just don't apply it once a day if you're exposing the UV rays. You have to carry it around with you to apply it every 2 hours because
exactly.
filters will leak.
Aging and photo aging. So it's not just aging because UVA rays actually break down collagen and make you age faster. However, but it is even photo aging. So this is when we talk about sunspots and other types of pigmentary disorders like melasma that we need to be protected against because of the sun.
But I feel like you all are telling me off at the table. I am just sitting here with such a guilty conscience right now. But Sarah, you just said there you need to be applying a sunscreen every 2 hours.
Yes.
But if I'm in Malta and I'm going in and out, I'm going to the car, I'm going to the office, I'm going to meet someone, I'm going for lunch, I'm... Do I still
okay,
need
okay, you
be?
Don't need to be by the clock.
No, but I mean, if you're going into the office, whilst you're in
different.
The office, you don't need to put on sunblock. But, I mean, if you would have spent the whole day in the office and then, I mean, are on your way out for lunch, then I would reapply, yes.
Exactly.
And if you know you're going to be in the sun.
Okay.
Most important, like, if you spend a day at the beach, exactly under the sun,
yeah.
Obviously you have to apply every 2 hours because you are at high risk. It's obvious. So,
okay, again, I'm feeling guilty.
These are all the ways how you can delay the process.
And delay the process.
Delay
of
skin cancer, aging,
I was
photo
gonna say,
aging.
Yeah, because
so,
it
yeah,
sounds to
these
me like it's not just about aging. It's also about
exactly, yes.
It's about health.
Skin health.
Okay, health. Good point. Coming back to you, you mentioned right at the very beginning, before we go to acne, because we're going to get to acne, but you mentioned right at the very beginning about the other factors that affect our skin. You mentioned about what we eat. You mentioned about hydration. And you also mentioned about pollution and so on. So apart from the sun, what is going to affect the health of my skin? Not what I do to it, but where I go and what I consume.
Yeah. So there are, as you mentioned, anything from diet.
Yeah.
So what we eat.
Yeah.
To how we live. So if you smoke as opposed to someone who doesn't smoke, to the area that you live in, if you live in a very highly polluted area, to your stress levels.
Ooh.
Okay, very importantly. All these factors affect the skin. And for example, we do tend to see people who flare up with certain skin conditions when they're very stressed.
Okay.
So all these factors affect the skin. Now, they do not affect the skin directly. So I'm going to jump to hormones again, because, for example, when it comes to stress or diet, these things affect your hormonal level. So, and then it is the hormonal changes that induce the skin problems.
It's all about hormones, right?
It's all about hormones. Yeah.
Jeez. So what is there then that I can consume or drink or not drink?
In reality, the better you treat your body, the better you look, full stop.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you start from a good nutrition, what does it mean? A balanced diet, a lot of minerals and vitamins that are essential for building good skin. Okay? And a lot of water. If you're dehydrated, your skin will not look good. Okay? If you consume...
Well, let me stop you and ask you that. You say if you're dehydrated, your skin is not going to look good. Because I want to make this really simple for anybody that's watching or listening to this. What does that mean? It won't look good.
It will look dry. As I said before, like, it doesn't have the nice elasticity.
Okay.
It could look dull as well.
Okay,
because
all right.
Because there isn't anything which is giving it that plumpiness. And that comes from water.
And we all know when somebody looks good, what they look like.
Yes.
We know when we bump into someone, oh, wow, you look good. And we know when they don't. And you're indicating that stress levels, which we know can affect the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we think, the way that we communicate, but can also affect our skin and make it listless and dull as well.
Yes.
Wow.
And something else, even sleep. If you're sleep deprived,
yes,
that will affect your appearance as well.
Okay, how? How? Because that's a constant.
Yes, because during when we sleep, there are a lot of repair which is happening in the body. It doesn't happen only in the skin. It happens in a lot of other organs. But the skin is what we see. The skin is a big indicator of what's happening inside as well, inside the body. You could tell a lot from how the skin is.
I feel judged. I'm just kidding. That is amazing, though. That is really, really mind-blowing. So what we look like, what our skin looks like, is an indication of what's going on inside as well. This is quite...
I mean, it's a lot of the time, yes. However, some people can have the best diets.
Yes, fair enough.
Super healthy, are into sports, are lean, but have skin problems.
Yes.
Because then, because of genetics, then
when the skin diseases crop up, I am talking more in terms of someone who
exactly
is healthy. Like,
I mean, it's always good to have because there are modifiable factors and unmodifiable ones. The genetics you cannot modify, you cannot change your genetics, but you can change things having to do with lifestyle, with what you eat, with your weight. So,
and when you say what you eat, I know this sounds really obvious, but I would say that in my mind, I'm immediately going to, okay, eat fruit and veg, eat clean, get to stay away from the higher processed foods. This, am I right? Is this what we're saying?
And the balanced diet. I think that is the most important, is a balanced diet.
Between
everything. Proteins, carbohydrates,
okay.
Fiber,
okay.
And water.
So. Okay. Brilliant.
And fats.
Okay, brilliant. Because we've kind of gone through the whole journey of skin and where we're at. And I want to come back to the frequently requested topic, which I started off the show with by dropping those statistics that 50% of women in their 20s, 33% of women in their 30s, and 25% of women in their 40s are affected by acne. Now, I'm going to say at this point, I'm very, very blessed in that. And I'm not being, you know, cocky or anything like that, but I am blessed because I don't suffer or I'm not affected by acne, and I probably haven't been since I was about 15. But I do remember what it was like when I was a teenager and you got acne, and your confidence just went through the floor because there's nothing you can do. Now I'm hoping that you ladies are going to be able to say, well, actually there is something that you can do. Mm-hmm. What is acne? And what's the difference between acne and spots? Because I remember as a kid, there was always said, okay, you've got acne. No, actually, I've got spots, or I've got spots and you've got acne.
I mean, the word acne and spots can be used interchangeably, really. A spot can be anything on the skin, but acne in itself is an inflammatory condition. So acne is a condition that primarily how it starts is because of excess oil production in the skin. This excess oil production is coupled by obstruction of comedones, of pores.
Okay,
of the pores. And what happens is that there is an accumulation of oil within the glands and it can't come out. It's kind of blocked within these pores. Because of this, bacteria start to grow and multiply. And that is where the acne moves from, for example, a comedonal type of acne, which is your whiteheads and blackheads, to a more inflammatory type of acne, where you get the papules, the red papules, the pustules, and even the nodules.
Okay.
So it's like a continuum. So you could have a non-inflammatory acne, but acne in itself can be inflammatory. Yes.
So let me ask you this. If acne is a buildup of oils in the skin that can't escape from the pores, surely the answer is you just wash your skin and you get rid of the dirt in the pores.
That is why one of the ways, in fact, one of all the treatments for acne have to do with the different steps that cause the acne. So you can either, for example, treat acne by certain products that shrink the oil glands or reduce the amount of oil. You can use certain products that are exfoliants and prevent the blockage of the pores. And you can use certain products that are antibacterial, that reduce the bacteria.
Right, okay.
So, and you can, obviously, most of the time we use a combination of products.
Okay. And you're going back to something that I've heard before. There's also your favorite word, there must be a hormonal influence.
So, yes. So before I mentioned the oil being produced, the cause of this excess oil is hormonal. Because on the oil glands, the sebaceous glands, we call them, we have receptors. Receptors are like docks. And the hormone goes on the dock and becomes activated. And there are these androgen receptors. So they're male hormone receptors. So when the male hormone goes on the receptor, it is activated. And when it is activated, the androgen goes on the receptor, it produces more oil.
So can I be devil's advocate for a second? If it's all about male hormones, why do women get acne?
So women have male hormones and female hormones.
Okay.
And so obviously if they are more sensitive to the male hormones or if there are hormonal imbalances that cause them to have more male hormones, then they are more predisposed to getting acne. In the case of teens, rather than it being because they have abnormal amounts of hormones, it is the fluctuations, the new fluctuations that the body is experiencing that makes them more prone to getting these breakouts. So it depends on what acne you're talking about, really.
Okay. Oh, wow. This is, this is even more complicated. Yes. Okay. If it's related to the hormones and to oils in the skin being blocked in the pores, which makes it susceptible to bacteria, causing problems and further issues, why then is it 50% of women in their 20s, 33% of women in the 30s, and 25% of women in their 40s? What happens over that period of time that would indicate that it's less of a problem as you get older?
So it is less of a problem as you get older, because most probably, because the commonest type of acne we meet, it is adolescent acne in your teens.
Okay.
And obviously that is mostly up until the age of 25.
Okay.
Over 25, we start to talk of acne in females as post-adolescent or hormonal acne.
Okay.
So, I mean, you cannot, it's difficult to compare numbers, but the majority of acne we deal with is adolescent acne. However, there is a large proportion of post-adolescent acne, which is hormonal acne. Now, when we talk about hormonal acne, it could be what we call de novo. So it could be someone who never had a spot in his life. And then at the tender age of 35, starts getting breakouts. Or it could be someone who really never cleared. Since his teens, he's been getting breakouts on and off. So it really does vary.
So we have different kinds of acne that affect you in different stages of your life, which are all really difficult to deal with because it knocks your confidence. Nobody likes to have to go through this. I'm pretty sure that everybody who's experienced acne has tried different treatments or, you know, skin cleansers and so on and so forth to try and get rid of the acne and so on. Some friends have taken a contraceptive pill.
Yes,
for instance,
yes.
To deal with acne, which some people approve of and some people don't. So we're not going to go down that road. But if you are a woman, you're in your 20s, let's start with that, and you're dealing with acne, what is the best solution to deal with that? Can we say that it's possibly, it should decline, it should get better, or should it
not? You can't.
You can't say that.
Okay. You can't tell.
Okay, so what's the best thing? If there's a young lady, we're going to deal with this in decades. If you're one of these young ladies, the 50% of young women who have acne, they're in their 20s, what do you do? Apart from cleansers, where's the starting point? Because I'm pretty sure that anyone who's got acne has already tried that. Maybe they're using the wrong cleanser.
Yes.
Or
no, so as I always say, when it comes to treatment, apart from medicines, again, lifestyle modification, if the person is eating a balanced diet, is super stressed or not, go into family history, see if they have a very strong family history of acne, because that can give you pointers towards the fact that most probably it's going to be a bit more chronic and more difficult to treat. And then when it comes to treatment, there are topical treatments and then there are oral treatments.
Okay.
Okay, so there are different topical treatments. So there are the over-the-counter products, like mild products with salicylic acid.
Yes.
Glycolic acid, there are cleansers, which are always a must, especially if you have acne. And then there are prescription medicines like retinoids. Okay, there are stronger than topical preparations, which have more salicylic acid in them and glycolic acid, and antibacterial products like azelaic acid and certain types of antibiotics that are topical. And then there are the oral medicines. So again, oral, there are the antibiotics, there are the hormonal oral medications like the contraceptive and other antiandrogens. And then there is the most potent oral medication that we can give for acne, which is a retinoid, which is isotretinoin.
Lots of big words there.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's okay.
I can't really simplify it.
No, and I don't think I need to know all of that to understand that the implications of what you were saying. But I'm going to come to Sarah. Sarah, somebody walks into your pharmacy and somebody says to you, listen, I'm 25 years old. I've been trying to battle this acne for I don't know, 10 years. I've had acne. I've got acne. It's really knocking my confidence. What is the first thing that you're going to say to them?
All right, first and foremost, there are the over-counter products like cleansers and moisturizers for acne. If it will be a mild form of acne, we can start off, yes, with an appropriate cleansers, because again, when you say cleanser, there are different types of cleansers. Like there are, in the case when they have mild acne, we can start with the harsh products like with glycolic acid, salicylic acids to help you treat better the acne. And then we can give also a treatment moisturizer, which will help as well to treat those inflamed pimples, bacteria, etc. But if it won't get better, it is very important that they go to a dermatologist and they have to add on medical prescribed medication. Because it depends. I mean, acne, the levels will start to vary. Sometimes it can be mild to moderate. If they come severe, I mean, they have to go straight to a dermatologist and they start with medical prescribed medication. And even though sometimes these prescription medication, they get some side effects, there are also treatment moisturizers to counteract, because sometimes they get a little bit dry. Yes. The skin gets a bit sensitive because they have harsh chemicals, but they're essential for treatment of acne. So in a nutshell, there is a solution for every level of acne. I know sometimes, yes, you have to live with it, but there is a control. I mean, there is a way how to control it. And even aesthetically, you will definitely look better. Even when you apply makeup, you will have a good, better makeup base. So you won't have
a lot. So there is, if somebody's listening to the show, watching the show, and they've been battling acne, adult acne for 10 years, there is still a solution.
Definitely. Yes.
And especially then when we talk about adult acne, as opposed to the
adolescent. So now we're talking about women maybe who are in their 30s.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're going to move into a new kind of arena.
So first of all, what you need to do is you need to see whether or not this has been something long-standing that, you know, they grew up with well into their 30s, always been suffering from acne, or else whether this is something new. Okay.
Which was this sudden breakout that you mentioned, which terrified me for a second.
Yes. Obviously, if when it comes to adult acne, it is, we call it hormonal acne, not necessarily because the hormones are abnormal. So very often the hormones are normal. It is because they are more sensitive to the hormones. As I said, because the receptors are more sensitive.
It's like they're picking up the testosterone a bit more than they should.
Exactly. They're, you know, it's affecting them more.
Okay.
The body thinks that there is more testosterone than there actually is.
Okay. So somebody walks into a pharmacy and says, I'm 35, let's go with, and I have acne. I've never had acne before. First of all, that can be treated.
Yes.
Yes.
And nowadays, they have also introduced serums to treat adult acne and also anti-aging. Like they have also incorporated with hyaluronic acid, because adult acne, the age being, I mean, they have both. I mean, acne and aging, some wrinkles, so it's normal. So nowadays there are a 2-in-1 treatments as well.
Okay. Someone comes into the pharmacy, they're 40, lucky so-and-sos, and they are still dealing with acne, which can be soul destroying. What are you going to say to them? What are you going to tell that person?
I think then at that point, I would step up to a referral to a dermatologist, because then there are things that are not over the counter that they will be bought with a prescription, and they have to be followed by a dermatologist to understand how to step up or step down the treatment accordingly.
Okay.
You have to look at the severity of the acne too. Depends if it's just whiteheads and a few blackheads, it's one thing. But if they have inflamed lesions, the red ones, that are painful, and especially when it comes to hormonal acne, it tends to affect more the jawline in females and the neck. and it tends to produce more painful, deep-seated, like nodules, which can be quite frustrating. Then we have to step it up. So apart from topicals, we have to start thinking of oral medication. And if we see that the problem is very chronic, we kind of discuss with the patient whether hormonal products like the combined oral contraceptive pill or other antiandrogens like spironolactone can be considered, because they would need to, it's a chronic problem. It's not just, I'm going to give you a 3-month course and that's it.
But there is a solution.
There is a solution, but you have to see what they've been through, because it's not just you're going to deal it with a 3-month prescription and that's it. Very often hormonal acne is more complicated. It's a chronic problem.
But it does have a solution.
Yes, of course.
I'm going to keep coming back to that. Because, exactly. But your first step, so if anybody's dealing with adult acne or post-adolescent acne, the first thing that they're going to do is going to come into their pharmacy. They're going to ask their pharmacist, and their pharmacist is going to say, okay, how about you look at your skincare routine? How about you look at your diet? How about you look at what you're taking into your body? Are you stressed? If you suddenly had a breakout that you've never had before, it could just be that you're going through a huge stress situation. And in which case, I'm assuming if it's related to stress, there's a good chance that when the stress subsides, then the acne will also subside as well, which is great news. So it's a kind of evaluating yourself, where you're at in your life, and then coming to someone like yourself and saying, okay, what are the products that I can use to tackle this from an outward journey.
And what then, products they've been using before.
To look at the history as well. Yeah. So then they're going to come back to you and they're going to say, okay, Sarah, I've done all of that. Everything is, you know, I've gone through all of it. I've looked at my stress. I'm so chill now. I'm more chill than the most chill person on the planet. So it's definitely not stress. I'm eating 5 a day and I'm not anywhere near pollution. And I've taken every skincare product that you've given me and I'm still having a problem. And you're going to turn around and say,
you refer to a dermatologist. I refer them to a dermatologist immediately. Uh-huh.
Brilliant.
Yes.
But anyways, there is an answer.
Yes. And apart from medications being the answer, sometimes you just have to look at what they're taking. So, for example, I've had patients who come to me with a breakout of acne, and going through their history, their gynecologist would have been started on a progesterone-only pill, for example, which can actually worsen acne.
Okay, so
explain sometimes it's the history that's so important, rather than just going and treating blindly.
Okay, because this is also an issue, because now these days we are much more inclined to take medications that affect our hormones because we might take a contraceptive pill.
Or the intrauterine device. Sometimes patients even forget to tell you when you're asking them for a drug history.
Yeah.
I specifically ask, do you have any intrauterine device sometimes? Because
explain what that is for those.
An intrauterine device is a form of contraception, but rather than it being in the oral form, it is inserted in the uterus.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And it releases progesterone.
But either way, there is hope.
There is hope.
Yeah. That's really, I'm so glad. I'm so glad because I know that this has been a big concern. So we have this step process. We know that what I'm going to take away from this, and I'm going to ask you for a second for your closing thoughts. What I'm taking away from this is that the skin care routine is maybe a little bit more complicated than my mother explained it to me. I feel like Sarah's told me off. And maybe I should readdress some of the things that I'm doing with my skin. But apart from cleansing your skin, which is number one important, and then using a product that's appropriate for your skin type to moisturize, that UV block is essentially important. Okay, this one I'm getting. What I'm also going to take away from here is that the skin is incredibly complicated. And that skincare routines are not just dependent on what skin type you have, but where you're at, and it changes during the year. That I never knew. I was like, find the great moisturizer and stick with it for life. Brilliant. I feel like I'm educated in that as well. And then when it comes to acne, which I am so thrilled about, there are different kinds of acne. And that they are all treatable, but there may be different solutions to that treatment. And your back history
yes.
is as important as what's happening now.
Exactly.
Wow. Did it? I'm doing good, right?
Yes.
And also, yes. if you're affected by conditions like psoriasis or eczema or something like that, there are solutions for that. Again, that could be subjective to stress or diet or something that you're going through at the time, or it could be a long-term issue that needs to be faced yes. on a different level.
Mostly, it's always a combination.
Okay. Wow.
I would like to mention as well the after effects of acne when it comes to scarring.
Right. Wow.
Because some, from what I see in my practice, some people end up like fixing the acute acne, the inflammation, but then the texture of the skin would have changed. In that case, there are remedies there as well. Okay, there are treatments to improve the situation and the in the scarring. Things, treatments like microneedling, chemical peels. There are also type of lasers that would help improve the texture of the skin. So even there's a solution as well.
This is great. There's solutions to everything.
Yes.
Yes.
This is really, really positive.
It's a journey in reality. You start with what's happening to you. You seek advice from the right people. You use the right products and use the right treatments.
And if it's not working for you, you go back.
Yes, and try something else maybe and shift according to how your body is shifting.
I love this. This is so, so empowering. I'm so glad we've had this conversation. So I'm going to come to each of you and ask you if there's one closing thought, one piece of advice that you can give to our she-worders, what would it be? I'm going to start with you.
I think it would be just to know your body, to know your skin mostly in this case, and to always remember that, as we said, the influence of our surrounding and our mood has a great effect on our skin. So do not be rigid with a skincare routine. Just try and do what you can so that you are happy in your own skin. And obviously, whenever you see that things are getting out of control, go to the adequate professional.
Okay, brilliant. Brilliant. I like that. I like when you said when you're not happy in your own skin.
I think basically treat yourself well. Treat yourself well in terms of what you eat, how much you sleep, control your stress levels. And if you have something that is bothering you, seek advice and try to fix it. Don't let yourself go and be unhappy and miserable. There is always something you can do.
I love that. Yes. There's always something you can do. I love that because it is so, so important. Sarah, yours is the last word.
Most important, use the right treatment for your skin. I mean, not because, for example, your friend is using this treatment, you do the same, even with the same condition. Always make sure that you're using the appropriate treatment for your skin. And yes, seek advice, even if something is not working, even if you're prescribed medication and you're having side effects, don't be afraid. No need to stop them because there is a solution even for to treat side effects. So everything can be controlled, whatever condition you'll be suffering from.
How positive is that? I love yes. that. Whatever you're suffering from, whatever you're affected yes. by, there is a solution.
For sure.
Brilliant. Ladies, I want to say thank you so much. And thank you for being so positive about that. I feel thoroughly educated, a bit of a blown away, but I'm really grateful because I know this is going to matter to an awful lot of she-worders that whatever you're facing, whatever the challenge is, if it's not working, it doesn't mean to say that your condition is a condition that can't be treated. There is a treatment for everything.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.